Hi, everyone. I'm going to be in James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. So I'm going to give you plenty of time to get there because I'm going to tell a brief story right before that. But let's pray. God, we need you right now. Thank you for being here. Thank you for speaking to us, God, for giving different people different gifts in the body, for allowing us all to be together and united, that we could listen to you right now. Give us ears to hear, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's see. The first half of my year this year, starting in September, I went to Malawi, Africa to join the Armins on the mission field. It was part of my practicum for Bible college. It was my final practicum for Bible college. We just had graduation yesterday, so there were lots of celebrations yesterday. When I went there, I was by myself. Obviously, I had the team. I was with them all the time. But as like a single missionary going out onto the field, you just find that you have a lot of downtime, like not wasted time, but downtime, like time for yourself. And I found that I had two options whenever I had that downtime. I could either be looking within myself, or I could be looking like without myself. I could be looking at my circumstances, at what I'm doing there. I could be analyzing it and contemplating it. I could be wondering why I even went in the first place, you know, just questioning, or I could be looking without. And I want you to think of this phrase. It's like a simple phrase, like by the end of what I'm going to say here, if you can just remember to look up, then you'll have gotten what it is that, like, I feel God has imparted to me for this. So look up. So I taught biblical psychology over there while I was there. And it's an amazing class. Pastor Schaller teaches it here. Pastor Stevens used to teach it. And there's so much content in that class. But every time you start with, or you can start with, the way, Genesis 3, the way that the devil interacts with Eve. And you can talk about like human psychology starting from that standpoint. Because this is actually, in Genesis 3, the first time that man, like Eve, thinks of herself. This is the first time that Eve is aware of who she is. And there's a really important point in this. So this is what I'm going to read from James 4, starting in verse 1. And it says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and you have not. You kill and you desire to have, and you cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not." Up until the serpent spoke to Eve, she was only listening to the things that God had said. She was only looking up the entire time. She looked to Adam, who was looking up, so she was looking up too. But when the devil started to speak to her, she started to look within herself. And then, so if you go back a few verses back into chapter 3, starting in verse 16, James 3, verse 16, It speaks about this again. "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work." And you would say, if you read that story, that Eve was very confused. She started to wonder about that fruit on the tree. She started to wonder about what God had even spoken to Adam or to her. And she got confused, and she did something that brings us all to where we are today. But verse 17 talks about something else in James chapter 3. It says, "The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." And so Eve had two options in that moment. She could have listened to what the devil was saying and looked within and It says that much in Genesis 3, maybe verse 6. It says she desired the fruit. It was good to eat. It was pleasant to her eyes. It was something that she really wanted. Or she could have continued to look up. Now, we can't change what happened in the Bible. We can't go back and erase what Eve did. We can't go back and erase the things that we did in our lives where we decided to look within ourselves and try to find our own answers as opposed to looking up at that moment. But we have that option every single day, like moving forward. We have that option to look up to the wisdom from above because it's pure and it comes down on us. And whenever we accept it, it's peaceable and it's full of, it's gentle and it's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy. And I was just thinking, like, where we all are at. Like, I just graduated yesterday and that was amazing. And the GGCA kids just graduated last week and that's amazing. But like, now you have a decision to make. Now you have places that you're going to go. And you have two options whenever you go to those places. You can either start looking within and decide what you're going to do, or you can like look up to God. Like you could look up to God and you can look to what he says you're like to make those decisions. King David, in the Psalms, he did both of these things. He would either look within himself or he would be looking to God. And each Psalm, you can see him doing different things. Can you turn to Psalm 38 really quick for me? Maybe if I read the Bible, I'll just like, it'll go right through. Who knows? Psalm 38. Just look at verses 3 and 4. This is David looking within. He says, "There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me." And you can keep reading, and he's looking within the entire time. But then go to Psalm chapter 8 and look at David's perspective in this psalm. It's totally different. Totally different. Starting in verse 3, he's just looking to God. He says, "God, when I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him and the son of man that you visit him?" He has a totally different perspective on his life at that moment. If you know anything about when those psalms are written, Psalm 38 happens after he just sinned with Bathsheba, and he's so full of his sin, he can't like see the end of it. But he has an option at that point to either look up or to keep looking within. If he keeps looking within, you read the rest of those verses and it's just like, it's depressing and it's dark and it's something that we all go through. But if at that moment he can think the way that he thought in Psalm 8 and say, "Well, God, if I just look at your heavens, like, what am I that you are even mindful of me?" It's this totally different mindset. So I would just encourage you guys, Whatever situation of life you're getting ready to go through or you are going through right now, you have two distinct options, and I'm sure there's many more options, but maybe just to simplify, it's you can either look within yourself where your deceitful and desperately wicked heart is that you don't even know yourself, or you can look up. You can look up to God. Like the Israelites looked up to God whenever Moses put the brazen serpent on a pole. And they were healed of everything. You can look up, like confession is basically looking up. When you confess, you're not worried about what happened within, but you're looking up to the Father who is good to you and who gives every good gift to you, including forgiveness. And he just gives you what you need in that moment because you looked up, because you weren't looking at yourself. So yeah, it's just an encouragement. God wants you to look to him. James 1, I think maybe verse 17. He is the Father who gives all good gifts and they all come from above. And he doesn't change about giving them to you. Every time you look to him, he will give it to you. Every decision you make, when you look to him for that decision, he's going to give you the way. He's going to show you how to go. So why do we look within ourselves? Just look up. In Jesus' name.
Good evening. Hello. I'm Pastor Steve DeVries from, where's Oliver? From Kentucky. Yeah. And, but actually also I'm from Korea, I'm from Illinois, I'm from Thailand, from China, from heaven. Here we are. Okay, if you have your Bibles, open to Deuteronomy chapter 8, please. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I don't know if you know, like I love that message. Matt, you just demonstrated your message. Your message, you demonstrated it right here. Right? He's like going along, and he's like, what do I say next? Right? And what's the temptation? To look within myself and figure out, okay, what do I want to say next? But he didn't do it. He said, open your Bible. Right? Open your Bible. That was awesome. That's okay. When in doubt, open your Bible. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you. To what? To humble you. And test you. To know what was in your heart. Whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. And you should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and to walk in his ways and to fear him. Just pray. Father, yes, we thank you so much for your word tonight. We thank you that your spirit is present to make these words personal and living and piercing. And thank you so much for that message we just heard about looking up. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, this thought. When I was in Bible college, when I came to Bible college, I was so amazed. One of the things I was very amazed with Pastor Stevens is the way that he correlated verses and to learn how to search the scriptures and turn the pages and let the Holy Spirit connect and intertwine the heart of God and God's word and making it so personal to our lives. And I love it. I'm so thankful that I had this example and this training in Bible college. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, it says, all these things happened to them. Everything we read here in the Old Testament, these Israelites, they happened to them as examples for us. And then they're written down for our admonition, for our encouragement, for our life. man does not live by rice and kimchi alone. Man does not live by bread alone. Man lives real life on this earth is by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And we know this, that Jesus quoted this passage when he was confronted and tempted by the devil in the wilderness in Matthew 4:4, and later again in Luke 4:4. But in Matthew 4:4, let's just look at this. Satan came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God," that's verse 3, "if you really are the Son of God, if you are really the Son of God, if you have the power of God, and turn these stones into bread, you're hungry, you know, pray for your needs, ask and command." Jesus answered, he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And I just to finish, like, just consider in this verse, there's three different aspects of God's word right here. Number one, it is written. The graphe, this is our Bible. This is the Bible. This is the word, the written word that Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away before even just one little mark, one little letter will pass away from my word, from the written word. We can trust it. Second, he's declaring actually an eternal reality, the Logos. It doesn't say Logos here, but when he says, man shall not live by bread alone, this is the Logos. This is the unchanging rock of truth. That either I will bend my knee to it and I will believe it by faith, I will mix faith with it, either that or it will, you know, the word of the truth will crush me. Like I cannot overcome it. This is an eternal truth. Man does not live by bread alone. You and I do not live. Our real life is not the provision here in this life. What is our provision? It's the word of God. The third one, he doesn't use. Man, when he translates it here into Greek, but man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Every word. This is Rhema. And this is God speaking and illuminating and making personal for your situation, your life right now. God's eternal word spoken to you by the Spirit. You seek God. You ask God. The Holy Spirit speaks. The word of God, the Bible speaks. It comes and it is personal and intimate. Man lives by every word that is proceeding from the mouth of God. And this is our life. Right? In Romans 1:17, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And the just shall live by faith. But then what does it say? What is faith? In Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word, the rhema of God, the rhema of Christ. And this is how we're living day by day. There is no other way. There is no other way to live this life on earth. And all of these things were written, and all these things happened to them as examples for us that we might be encouraged to walk by faith, to live by faith, and demonstrate the righteousness of God. And last thing, actually in this verse, there's a fourth one. There's a fourth one. Because who is speaking this? This is Jesus Christ, the Logos, the eternal Logos who became flesh and dwelt among us, and he is the one speaking it. And he's not just speaking it, he's actually living this out. He's living this verse out. And he did it so that we, you and I also, we can do it. We can live by this verse. You know, it's great to have bread to eat. But God tested the Israelites. He caused them to be hungry. He caused them to go through trials and difficulties, to test their hearts, to humble them, and to see, are you going to trust me? Are you going to trust my word? Are you going to trust my promises? And we say, yes. Yes, Lord, by your grace. Yes, Lord, I'm going to be one of these. In these last days upon whom the ends of the earth have come, these things were written for us. Amen? Amen.
Okay, if we have that iPad, okay. Let's take the iPad for a moment. I'm going to have I'll give a 10 or 15 minute message, but let's review just a couple of things that we just heard. Pastor Steve, not adding to what he said, it was very good, but we can write here, graph A, is that it? Is it up on the screen? Okay. These are the written letters. These are the marks on the scripture. This is the letters. These are the marks on the papyrus, the scrolls, right? So you have the word. It is written on the scrolls by the prophets and the scribes. Then the next word was what? Logos. And this is the thought, feeling, thought of God, the mind of God, the thought of God. This is what we read in the Bible. And then the third word was what? Rhema. And this is the word that comes out of the mouth of God. So I read my Bible, that is graphe. And in the Bible, I read the biographies, the histories. I read what it is saying. And then I get the logos, the thought of God in the Bible. And then in my particular situation, God gives me a living word. I have a trial. Now this morning, we preached on guilt and the freedom that we have in Christ on that subject. And we'll do that tonight for a few minutes. And then he said, Christ was speaking this verse in Matthew 4:4, and you actually could touch him, his flesh. You're touching the Word of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and he spoke the Bible. He quoted from the Bible. And there were times when he quoted from the Bible where it actually brought healing to the man who was sitting by the pool. Rise, take up your bed and walk. Those words went to that man's heart. He stood up and he walked and had never done it for 38 years. What did Pastor Steve say? This is how we now live. This is how we live. We are not to live only by our stomach, our hormones, our physical bodies, our circumstances. We are not to be led by our failure or our disappointment. There are some people that won't leave the house because they're afraid of going outside. How are they living? By their stomach, metaphorically speaking, by human nature, by fear. They are being controlled by disappointments. They are controlled by guilt and failure and their own temperament or their culture or what their mother and father said. Their mother and father might have said this to them, never go to church. Those people are thieves. Don't go to church. They will steal your money. And if you go to a church, never put any money in the collection basket. Yes, Dad, that's how I will live. How are they living? Not by every word that comes out of God's mouth, because they have never heard the word of God that comes out of God's mouth. There are people around this world, in this world, and around all over the place that are living not by what comes out of God's mouth. They are living by their stomach. They're living by their nature. They're living by their fears. They're living by their pride or their religion or their self-righteousness. It is just filling the world with something other than what Christ taught us. And that's Deuteronomy 8:3. He said, I led you into the wilderness to teach you that you're to live by the words that come out of my mouth. That's why we should have our Bible, reading the Bible, thinking about the Bible, meditating on the Bible, and you came out tonight to be hearing the Word of God. And by the way, Matthew over there, he's one of the largest men I've ever met. He's a huge man, isn't he? Fine young man. He used to throw a baseball, was it 89 miles an hour? 89 miles an hour. I don't know about you, but that's really fast. And he was going into the pros, but he couldn't get it up over 92 or 94. What was it? If he threw the ball 94 miles an hour, he'd be in the National Baseball League as a highly paid professional pitcher. But guess what happened? He couldn't do it. So what happened? He went to Bible school. And he graduated yesterday. And he gave that amazing message. Amazing message. And he's marrying that fine young lady. Could she stand up? Where is she? Jamil, you want to stand just for a second just because we're having fun? There she is. Yes, yes. Okay. Thank you. Hey, listen, these are great graduates. We had an amazing weekend, and we're going to say a few more words about it. But would you stand with me just now for a moment and have a moment of fellowship with your neighbor on the subject of living by every word that comes out of God's mouth? Okay. You may be seated. That was a seventh inning stretch right there. That's what that was. But I know we didn't need to do it. Ed, you going to kayak tomorrow? Are you kayaking tomorrow? Okay, so Ed Yanowski is leading a group of people kayaking at Gunpowder, is it? Dundee Creek. And anybody wants to go? Then Randy Rollins is cycling tomorrow at 8 in the morning. They meet in the parking lot here. For those that want to go, you don't know where, but if you know you're with Randy, you'll be okay. Pastor Taggart, can I see you after this with Pastor DeVries about Thailand for a few moments? Thank you. And what else do we have to say here? We had a beautiful message this morning, really. It was really good. Was amazing. So thankful for that. Now, turn to 1 John chapter 1. This will be, you know how it goes. 1 John chapter 1. And this is really a big subject. It's big concern of mine, and this is why. After the morning service at 11 o'clock, we had a beautiful service with Don Valerio. I gave a message this morning, and then Pastor Drew Wilczek, awesome messages, both of them. And then we had the 11 o'clock service, and this is what we spoke on guilt. And after the sermon, I was at the door, and this man stopped in front, and he just said, "Thank you so much. I am released from my guilt." And then he just started to weep. And he said, "My son was shot and killed. And I have lived in the guilt of being a bad father. And he wept on my shoulder. We had a few moments there. And he's new in our church, and it was a very touching moment for me as I understand a 60-year-old man. I'm just saying, I don't know how old he is, but I know I'm older than that. But and you look back, and you can have regrets. I wasn't what I should have been, maybe, or I failed somebody, or my life didn't turn out to be what I wished it could have been. And this is all around us, and it's painful. And every day we hear some news from somewhere. And pray for the Vieta family, very precious. Jackie went to be with the Lord, and that's a painful thing, of course. And guilt, wow, anybody can have it. And even for no reason, it seems. I haven't done anything wrong. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and go, Lisa, what did I do last night? Did I kill anybody? Was I gone out of the house? What happened? And she goes, what are you talking about? I go, why do I feel guilty? And the answer is, my sin nature is constantly guilty. It never changes. My sin nature that is in me is saying these things, the good and evil tree. The tree of good and evil is in the presence of evil, the presence of what I would do, I don't do, you know. What I shouldn't do, I end up doing it at times. By the way, I need to make a correction. This morning I said, phony as a $2 bill. And after the service, somebody showed me their $2 bill that they have in their wallet. Okay, so it's $7 bill. Okay? As phony as a $7. Okay, show me the $7 bill after the meeting. Okay, all right. But, okay. My sin nature. In Romans chapter 7. What could I do? If I work with my sin nature, I'll always come up short. I'm always short. I'm never performing enough. I'm always a debtor. Realize this in the nature of life that we as people have a problem with guilt. And it doesn't go away until you understand, well, first of all, being saved and filled with the Spirit, you do not have guilt. You have a new nature, and the Spirit of God does not condemn you. You are free. If you learn as a habit to relate to doctrine, and we drew that diagram, and you know the one this morning, this one, the solid line is objective truth, and the dotted line is the subjective truth or subjective experience that I'm having. I feel guilty. In my heart, I am guilty. But if my heart condemns me, God is greater than my heart. The truth of dying with Christ, being raised with Christ, And it must be, please understand this, it must be that the Holy Spirit is in the world to show me truth. You know, the facts may be that I did kill somebody, God forbid, but the facts may be, but facts are facts. Truth is God's mind. And when God says you are forgiven and I remember your sin no more, that means that I may be in a prison paying for my sin, but I'm not paying for my sin before God. My sin was paid for at the cross, and the blood has set me free without a guilty conscience. I am free. This is the reality of doctrinal thinking. And to our dear brother who was at the door this morning, he said, thank you, I got it, I got it. Like I have lived in guilt because of having failed in my family, but I have realized something that is much greater than my particular situation. I realize who Christ is and what he did for me. This is amazing. If this is real, if this is true, it's the greatest treasure we could ever have. And I believe there must be some laboring in my faith to embrace it and digest it. I know it is. Look around. You know, Ray Kurowski there, the biker in the back there. Ray, he's such a living testimony in my heart because of his life and the Spirit showing him truth. You know, like we don't even know what people go through in the facts of the case. We don't really care as much about the facts of the case as we care about the grace of God and the mind of God and what that means to me, that he does not condemn me, that I'm not living in my wound or my pain or my trouble. I'm growing up. I'm living above and beyond myself. We preach it all the time, I know, but it takes time and processing and thinking with God to say, by golly, I'm going to take that all the way to the bank. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to walk in it. I got it. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to relate to it. My identity is not that. My identity is in him, and this is how I'm going to live. And by God's grace, and none of us know what our future holds, but we know that if we could do what Pastor Steve said, by the words that come from his mouth, then we will be amazed ourselves at what God is saying and what he's doing and what it means to me. And we'll put on the Lord Jesus Christ and the personal sense of freedom. And we could say, yes, my son was shot to death on the street by the police, by the way. This is what he told me. Yes, a horrible nightmare for any parent, for any person. But this is what we got to say. We got to think about this. Wait a minute. That cannot be that I would live in my pain and my suffering and my guilt and my fears. It cannot be. It cannot be. There must be something greater for us. There must be something greater than the prison, the pain, the hospital, the mental hospital, the drugs, the alcoholism, the pain of life. There must be something much greater. It must be that Jesus Christ being raised from the dead is some kind of guarantee to me that I'm going to live a unique and a different life. For I have died and now I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It even says, the faith that I'm using isn't even mine. It's the faith of the Son of God. That's amazing. This is an entirely new life. This is a transformed mind and a way of life that takes some effort and time and attitude and never stopping. And now some of us are old timers in the ministry. I might be an old timer, but I can be as fresh as heaven on this earth. And I'm not labeling myself or anybody here as an old timer, where we have the freshness of God in our lives. And that all the time in our past is just for our benefit to get some reservoir and some reference and some way of thinking for what God has for us for our future, and also how we can help the next generation find Jesus Christ. I am so happy that Greater Grace is not content with passing on religious church services to the next generation. No, we are interested in finding Him and living in Him and ministering Him and believing in Him and doing things that are way beyond our capacity and living in a quality of life and a quality of love where conventions are not done out of a duty. They're done out of life and joy. And have some expectation in your heart for this coming convention. And say, Lord, please, with the freshness of your life, may I meet my sister and brother in the parking lot and share Christ with them. Christ with them. Wow. May when we meet our brothers and sisters coming in from different places, may we share Christ with them and have the discernment and the freshness and the fragrance. There are some people that live in their flesh and they party in their flesh. I mean, they relate in the flesh, they talk in the flesh, and they are very discouraging kind of the way they talk. And Jesus met two of them on the road to Emmaus. And what are you talking about that makes you so sad? Well, haven't you heard? There was a prophet, one Jesus. Haven't you heard? And he goes, he'll tell me about it. And they talk. And then he starts talking. And when he starts talking, their hearts start burning. And there starts to be fellowship. And this is the kind of fellowship we are all looking for and we have found. That which is motivating us in the next step. And here's another thing, too. Let's have another step. We have another step, another chapter, another phase. Let's have another step in life. Let's see what the Lord will do. Let's see more of His goodness happen in our everyday life. Let's see our young people enjoy being with us. Isn't that great? They want to be with us sitting at a table. They want to be in our families. They want to come home. They want to be with us in our church. They want to be with us in the mission. We have a next step. Okay. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. This was a fellowship today in the light. And the blood of Christ has taken away and washed us. And we are not conscious of our sins. We are conscious of His grace and His person. Prepare us. Convention, in a way, has already started for us. Prepare us for it as we open our homes. Prepare in our hearts for the freshness of the fellowship and where we will say our prayers for your presence and your healing and for revival and the work of grace amongst us, and bring people from Utah and Arizona and California and everywhere in the country, Alaska maybe. Bring people here, the internet audience from Europe and Africa and India, China. Bring people here to gather together in your name, and may you be glorified. Not us, Lord. We have nothing to offer, but because of your work, we have everything from you, and we glory in it. In Jesus' name, we pray. And anyone listening to my voice, would you accept Jesus tonight? An invitation to you to come to him by faith. Say, I have sinned. I am lost. I am a sinner. I need Christ. I come to him by faith tonight. I make a decision. This is your spiritual birthday. Write it down. It is May 27th. Write it down in your Bible. Get a Bible and write it down. My spiritual birthday, May 27th. Today, I have believed and trusted in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.